Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my second in command, Camaro Dave and Commander Chris. We're coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, Oregon, and all of our affiliates up and down the line on the Barbecue Nation and the Envision Radio Networks. We thank you for letting us share some time with you today. We were talking off the air, but I don't know whether to congratulate or say a prayer for our guest today, Emily Detweiler. She's the freshly minted CEO of KCBS, and we're going to get Emily's story and her thoughts about the future going forward in barbecue, and we're going to talk to her in just a minute. Also, our music this week is from Supertramp, and our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef sponsor this segment. Beef you can count on for quality, consistency, and taste every time. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. So let's get on with it. Emily Detweiler, welcome to the Nation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
We're tickled to death to have you here. So, little background. I'll kind of lead you into this, and then you can tell our listeners what it is. You worked for a long time for Smithfield. And you were very familiar with barbecue. You had a number of programs, and you were marketing director and those types of things. I'm just kind of skimming over the top here, Emily, real quick. And then the opportunity came up for you. So why don't you give us a little history?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've got about 15 years of brand strategy and business development experience, five of which were honed specifically at Smithfield in the fresh pork division. So, you know, when I got to Smithfield, one of the things that I was asked to do was to think about what we were doing in the sport of barbecue and try to make something of it. So I just absolutely invested myself right into it, jumped in with both feet, and started going to contests and learning some of the key players. And, you know, at the time we had a small sponsorship with KCS, and so I got to know the organization a little bit that way. But over time, you know, I kept trying to do additional or different things each year, and over time had the opportunity to really build a great program within the sport of barbecue. So, you know, we sponsored certain pitmasters. We created a committed cooks program where people could sign up to be part of the Smithfield team, essentially. Started a program, a grant program, which I know our organizers and teams absolutely loved because putting additional prize money back into barbecue. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just before I left, had the opportunity to essentially create a completely new contest with the Smoking with Smithfield National Barbecue Championship that I'm excited to witness in New Orleans in November in a different capacity. But really enjoyed my experience there. And, you know, I think it definitely set me up for this opportunity because I now know many of the key players. I understand the sport. I understand some of the pitfalls, but especially where I see the opportunity to really grow, both within the sport, but also beyond. We think about, you know, KCBS really helping preserve and educate the public about barbecue as America's distinctively, you know, it's a really distinctive American cuisine. So,
sure.
You know, there's a lot of my experience that I look forward to leveraging to help build the strategy for the future at Kansas City Barbecue Society.
How were you welcomed? I mean, and I'm a member of KCBS, you know, full disclosure, all that stuff.
Thank you.
But you have a, you kind of have a core group back there that kind of has been, you know, in charge for a long time. And that's a great thing because Carolyn and her team have done some wonderful things to promote barbecue over the years. But absolutely, it's also got to be a little bit to them like handing the reins to somebody else in a manner of speaking. And so I know you're pretty fresh at this, but was it, I'm sure it was a very warm and gracious welcome, but have any of the board and stuff come up to you and said, good luck, or, you know, glad you're here, that type of thing?
Absolutely. So I would say the welcome has been very, very warm. It's been a thank goodness, you know, we're so excited to have you here based on the experience that you bring. You know, I very much view this role as, or my, you know, why I've been selected for this role, as the person to be the bridge, essentially, and, you know, continue to connect with Carolyn and the group here to make sure that we definitely recognize and build from where we began, essentially, but also really look to the present and the future. So, you know, I think for the most part, the reception has been very, very welcoming, both from the board, from the small staff here in the office. You know, what I've quickly learned is it is a lean and mighty team right here that makes it all happen. So, yeah, everybody wears many, many hats. So I think, you know, there's just a lot of excitement to leverage, you know, some of the experiences, like I said, that I've had. And, you know, somebody that is ready to look at things from a fresh perspective and really dig in and, you know, grow the organization into the future for the long term. So, yeah, it's been a very warm welcome. And I think, you know, the other part that's exciting as well is we've got a strong, very supportive board in place today. And just, you know, as we continue to look for the future and how we're already starting to see some of the nominations for our next election coming in, that's proving to be very strong as well. So it's a great opportunity, and you know, I've had a lot of jokes kind of like yours, don't know whether to congratulate you or pray for you, but so you know, I get it. It's definitely, it's a challenging role, challenging time, but I see opportunity, and that's you know, I think that's why I felt called to accept the role.
Well, what was it that sold you? Well, I mean, I've done not what you're doing, but when you go in to apply for a job, you're basically selling yourself. And okay, so they accepted what you were selling, but you also have to, you know, appreciate and want to do the job that's being offered. So what sold you on that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, you know, I would tell you that in my previous experience, while I was at Smithfield, I was responsible for many things, including all of our national marketing, some of the NASCAR programming, shopper marketing, et cetera, and barbecue. And, you know, barbecue was only one part of what I was responsible for, but I definitely overinvested my time in it because I came to really enjoy the people that were in the sport. And I think that was honestly a big part of what was exciting to me about the opportunity of KCBS, because I truly do believe that this is a great organization. It's a great group of people. And I've learned a lot more in the last couple of weeks about some of the other key member constituents, such as, you know, judges and organizers. When previously I may have thought more about things through the lens of the teams and the sponsors. But, you know, through that lens, what I've learned is that everybody is really passionate about this organization and about the sport in general. And that passion is what fuels people. It fuels the good. It fuels the bad. It fuels the headbutting that happens. But again, within all of that, I really do genuinely see an opportunity and, quite frankly, a need to forge a path for the future. And that is the part that's exciting, because I see the opportunity to really have a blank slate and think about, you know, what we can do as an organization to grow the experience that people have with grilling and smoking as a pastime, as a hobby, and as a sport.
Well, that's going to be our next, when we go into break and we come back, that's what I was going to ask you, is How do we bridge that gap? And I want you to think about this over the break because we're going to go here in about 20 okay. seconds. But how do we bridge that gap from the 70 million or so backyard weekend warrior grillers, barbecuers, smokers, what have you, and then the competitors that KCBS basically mm-hmm. deals with? And there is a gap there. It's not a bad thing. I don't want to frame it that way. It's something that I think, though, we need to as a member, we need to look at, you know, bringing more people. But that's the way it is in most organizations. I'm going to be back here in the Nation in just a couple minutes with Emily Detweiler, the brand new CEO of KCBS. Thanks for being with us, and we'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey, welcome back to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're talking with Emily Detweiler, the new CEO of KCBS. Before we get back and chat with Emily some more, real quickly, if you want to email us, it's bbqnation@salempdx.com. It's bbqnation@salempdx.com. You can go to SoundCloud and see the whole archive of a gazillion shows we've got up there, which is just Barbecue Nation. You have to write that one out. You know, B-A-B-A-R-B, blah, 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 Nation with JT. Also, Facebook, we've got that, Twitter, and all the other annoying social media platforms, and we're on them all. And I say that with all due deference because it's starting to take up a lot of my time dealing with that stuff. Anyway, talking with Emily Detweiler here. And this is, ever since you agreed to this interview, I've been thinking about this. We have a huge population in the United States and North America, Canada too, that like to grill. Gas grills are the number one selling item out there as far as barbecue, and that's cool. That's all good. And then we've got the people that I talk to a lot and you deal with now on a daily basis, the competitors. But there's a void in there. Because if you're going to be a competitor, it's going to take some money. You're going to have a good cooker, smoker, whatever you choose to use. You're going to have a truck and a trailer and lots of things that go with it. So that's fine because if you're good enough, there's sponsorships and things for you. But how do we get the civilians, if we can call them that, more interested? And then how do we, on the kind of the professional side, go and deal with the civilians and say, you know, it's okay. You don't have to compete. You can just have a good time and cook well.
Absolutely. So I think it's an interesting question. You know, it's interesting to me because as I have been digging in to the organization and really understanding how we talk about ourselves and even the bylaws and how we describe ourselves, you know, we really describe ourselves as America's barbecue expert. And within that, you know, the Kansas City Barbecue Society is a nonprofit that's dedicated to preserving, celebrating, promoting, and educating the public about barbecue as a distinctively American cuisine. And there's so much richness in that because it really tells you that we have the opportunity to go in many different directions, and we have the opportunity to do much more in other spaces beyond competition. So, you know, the way I see it is we have a really strong competitive program today, and that feeds a lot of interest from, you know, cooks, from judges, from organizers, contest reps, et cetera, everything that it takes to put it on. So I want to continue doing all of that. And at the same time, I definitely see the need and the opportunity to expand. And whether that's things like really focusing more on growing backyard and grilling programs, tailgating type of programs, things that might still have some sort of a competitive angle to it, I think there's that as an opportunity. But I also see a strong need to really look through you know, a membership opportunities and what benefits essentially in terms of why would you want to be a member of KCBS? And there's a lot more that we can do there that we will in terms of, you know, providing additional content and ideas and engagement opportunities for members that, you know, might just be more of a barbecue enthusiast in their backyard and maybe don't have any interest at all in being anywhere remotely tied to the competitive side, but yet speak to that opportunity of engaging with barbecue as a distinctly American cuisine. So, you know, there's a lot that I'm working through right now in terms of asking a lot of questions, formulating ideas for the future from a growth perspective that are beyond the competition side. So it's a really exciting time in the organization, and we are absolutely thinking about how do we truly deliver on that idea of being America's barbecue expert beyond competition.
Well, it's a huge undertaking, too. I mean, just if you look at the sheer numbers, just the sheer numbers of, you know, what KCBS membership is now, that's great. You can always use more members. But again, when you look at the civilian population, that's a huge jump. That's a hyperspace, you know, warp drive, Star Trek, boom, you're out there, jump with all these people. And the ones that I talk to, and I talk to a lot of them because they see me, they listen to the show or they see me on TV or something, and they're like, they'll come and talk to you. And a lot of them are what you just said. A lot of them don't have the interest in the competition aspect, but they're really thirsty, if you will, and craving. I was going to try to avoid using the word hungry to, you know, sound tacky there, but to learn, mm-hmm. You know, they may not want to season a brisket or a butt 15 times and, you know, inject it and do all the stuff that they do at the competitive level, but they'd really like to turn out a nice butter brisket over the weekend at home. So this time of year, if they're doing a little tailgating or they've got Saturday or Sunday football they're watching or whatever, they just want to make it so it's really good. You know, they want to be proud of what they do and they enjoy doing it. So I think that's a big bridge we have to gap there.
100% agree. And, you know, the great thing is that for anybody who's in the sport of competition barbecue, for everybody who knows them, whether it's someone from church or their kid's school or, you know, work, what have you, that person is their go-to barbecue expert and
right.
who they're going to ask if they have questions on what to do. So it's fantastic that we have essentially, I hate to say at our disposal, but kind of at our disposal, we have all of these essentially ambassadors for grilling and smoking.
Sure.
And we need to find a way to essentially capitalize on their knowledge and share that out as the experts and to inspire people that perhaps just want to learn from them in terms of, you know, having a great grilling or smoking experience at home in their backyard. So there definitely are things that we just, quite frankly, need to do to get ourselves up to 2019 and moving into 2020 to really be that content provider, essentially, or to be that expert in terms of grilling and smoking, because that's really who we are. It even says it in our charter and our bylaws, you know.
Emily and I are going to take a break. We're going to be back here on The Nation on the Envision Radio Networks right after these messages. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. You're not, so we got that settled. So let's get on with our conversation with Emily Detweiler after we thank our friends at Painted Hills Natural Beef for always kind of watching out for us here at the Nation. And it's Painted Hills Natural Beef from beautiful downtown Fossil, Oregon. If you've not been there, you probably don't know where it is. But anyway, it's good, it's fun, and the beef is great. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Now let's get back and chat some more with Emily Detweiler, the new CEO of KCBS. The programs we talked about in the last segment, I think that's phenomenal to reach out to people. You know, every sporting thing I've been involved with, and I was involved with a number of different ones, you grow, and then you kind of plateau for a while. And then you got to figure out how you serve the public needs, not just the membership needs, because members will come back normally with a few statements, if you will. Well, we need more sponsorships. We need more members. We need more corporate dollars. We need bigger events. And they're sincere about that. They're not complaining. They're just saying, you know, their vision is that. And you've got to, as CEO, I think, assimilate all that stuff and try to come out with something and go, yeah, or no, that's impossible for us to do. I know you've only been on the job a few weeks, but you ever go home and go, oy vey, this is tough?
Every day. Yes, I definitely do have those moments. But again, it's where I think the real growth opportunities come from. So, it's just been fun and interesting as I've gotten in here, you know, asking questions like, well, where's our About Us presentation? Well, we don't have one. Okay, then that gives me the opportunity to create one. So those types of things. I have a very good barbecue mentor who once told me that the things that look like the empty spaces are really the opportunities to create your own path, and really the white space opportunities. So, again, because KCBS really got to where it is today in many parts by luck and just continuing to show up and say yes to things, and that is phenomenal. And that's, you know, that's the history and the spirit that we have to continue with that fire in the belly to leverage as we do become more proactive in terms of really trying to grow and to reach more audiences. So, you know, I see those as the opportunities, and it might take a while to get there, and I'm sure it's going to be frustrating at times along the way. And you know what? People are going to be frustrated with me too, because as you make decisions, you know, some people may not agree with absolutely everything.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think everyone recognizes that now is our pivotal moment of when we have to do things differently to continue to grow. So, you know, that I think most people are in the same camp on how we do it and how we're going to get there. You know, you're never going to make everybody happy.
Right.
So I sometimes just have to remind myself of that. You know, but again, a lot of opportunity for things that we can do and really things that we should do moving forward.
Yeah, being a CEO, unfortunately, is not a popularity contest, whether it's in a nonprofit or a publicly held company or anything like that. You've got tough decisions to make because that's your job. And
that's right.
And you're right. You'd like to try to make everybody happy, or at least the majority happy, but sometimes things are going to, you know, rear their ugly head, as a friend of mine used to say, and you've got to deal with them. And it's not everybody's going to be pleased. And you know what? That's also part of being in a public group, and a membership based, you know, organization. It can be tough. I've sat on the boards of local and regional stuff before, and usually when my term was up, I went home. Because I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. The intention was good, but the result sometimes was not. So how do you, I'm not talking about KCBS though, but through your experience, how do you balance the personalities? You've got, you know, A's and B's and ones and twos and alphas and donkeys or whatever, you know. I mean, that's got to be a tough part of your job, because you've got people from the business world that you came from that, you know, you've already got established relationships with, and you know, that's a great thing. That's a great tool to have. but then you've got personalities on members and boards and maybe somebody else that's new wanting to get involved. And those personalities sometimes can be difficult to deal with. How do you balance that?
I think it's what I have learned is that people want to feel heard and they want to feel included. And so in terms of how I'm trying to balance things, and I've really tried to take this approach through my career and with my family, sometimes I think that my young children, I'm dealing with personalities similar to that. But at the end of the day, I think people want to feel heard and validated, and that, I think for the most part, people understand that they're part of a membership-based organization, and so they might not get their way every single time, but at least if they have the opportunity to provide their feedback, provide their thoughts and ideas. I had another great barbecue mentor who I'm sure many of you know out there, but said, take the best and, take what you can and leave the rest. And I think, that really sticks with me as one of my mantras moving forward is that, I want to listen to everybody. I want to hear all the ideas. At the end of the day, it's my job to take what I can and leave the rest and to use the best of the intentions and ideas to create a strategy that is going to work for this organization both today and in the future, based on the resources that we have available to us. And, that's the thing working on a nonprofit side. There's all kinds of things that we could do if we had more resources. So we have to think about what we can do in a very scrappy way with the limited dollars and certainly with the ample amount of volunteers. That's another thing that has just been a very positive side of the welcome that I've received, and what I love about what I'm seeing in this organization is that people genuinely want to show up and do the work and help, And so I've had so many people reach out to me and say, I've been part of this organization for years, or I've even had some that say, I just recently joined. I want to get involved. How can I help? What can I do? So, that's rewarding and somewhat challenging in its own right, just because I want to give people who want to be involved from the beginning opportunities to do so and quickly, so that we, continue to take advantage of when they're excited and want to participate and help. So those are things that I'm working through as well, because sometimes showing up to help doesn't necessarily mean money. It means hours and sweat equity, and people are willing to help in all kinds of ways. And I see that even if you go to a contest and you see, not only do you have the teams who said, I want to be here, but you've got all kinds of judges that are volunteering to come, and they may drive or travel just as far away as the teams because they take their job very seriously as well. So, it's just, that is an interesting component of being a nonprofit membership-based organization that I think is truly amazing. It's that people want to show up. They want to help and be part of something bigger than themselves. So that really is very rewarding.
So I'm going to ask you a very loaded question now. And you can yell at me off the air. That's fine. One of the things that I hear a lot about when interviewing some of these folks is the judging system. Judging that is subjective versus objective is always tough. Being a judge is always tough. Is that something you're going to be looking at going down the road?
Absolutely. So, I've certainly heard it from both sides of the equation already. I think, at the end of the day, the judges do the absolute best they can in that moment.
Sure.
To provide a fair and equitable contest. Are there things that we as the sanctioning body can continue to put in place to ensure that fair and equitable contest? Yes, there are. So, I think that there really is opportunity on both sides of the equation. And, quite frankly, I'm not taking one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are things that both parties can and should step back and think about sometimes. You know, that's definitely the quick learning I've had in my short time on the job.
There you go. Hey, thanks for listening to us here. Emily and I will be back on The Nation right after this. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave, Commander Chris, and our latest addition to our family here on The Nation, CEO Emily Detweiler from KCBS. I just made you a radio star and you don't even know it. So there you go. What is your favorite thing so far? And this is a very unfair question. I get it, because you've only been there about a month. Your most favorite thing about what you're doing, and one of the things that may not be at the top of the list.
Well, would it surprise you if my answer to both questions was the same?
No.
And it's the people. I think, you know, for the most part, the people that I have engaged with have been wonderful. And I think, again, people are excited for change. They're excited for something new and really the direction to drive into the future. And that's been really, really awesome. And then I guess I would say for the part of it that I don't care for, sometimes it's the people and the way that there's a lot of infighting, particularly on social media, for one person's opinion versus another. And, you know, it's just so interesting because at the end of the day, there's so much good. And I think that I have to sing the song to myself a lot of times. I believe most people are good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, though it's the moments when people are not good to one another, whether it's, you know, a judge in the team or whether it's people talking badly about one another on social media or providing, you know, just thoughts like that, you know, it's sometimes I just shake people and say, be an adult. You know,
yeah.
This is supposed to be fun. And I keep hearing all the time, let's put the fun back to barbecue. Well, every single person that's a part of the sport has a responsibility to do that. So, you know. That's why I say sometimes I love it, and I also see the opportunity that people really have to work on themselves and how they present themselves and their sport to the world. So just show up and be respectful and have a time, and you will. You know, I think you put out into the world what you, or you get back what you put out, and so the most you can put out is good. I think you're going to get good back. So that's what I would say.
I think that's a great answer, actually. I really do, because sometimes people can get pretty narrowly focused on mm-hmm. themselves. We're all guilty of it. I've done it in the past. I try not to do it anymore because my daughter, and I've been married long enough, and my daughter's old enough now to hit me in the head with a baseball bat if I get stupid. But anyway, you know, I think that's a good reminder to people, not just in the barbecue organization or organizations, but in any organization you belong to, you know,
yeah.
Go have a good time. That's why we're there. You don't do
That's
it to
right.
be miserable, for God's sakes. You know?
That's right. Absolutely.
So what's your favorite thing to cook on a grill or a smoker?
You know, that's a hard question because obviously with a lot of my world in pork, we certainly did a lot of pork tenderloin or pork chops at home. But honestly, I love a good steak on the grill. That is, and I use gas, I use charcoal at home, but I really love a great steak on charcoal. That is, if I could do anything every day, well, probably not every day, what if I'd be considerably larger, but that would be my favorite thing. It's just a great steak on charcoal. I can taste the flavor right now.
You know, there's something about that, and I don't know if that stems from, you know, growing up and all the marketing, beef, what's for dinner, Clara, where's the beef, you know, all that stuff that mm-hmm. we grew up with. But there is something about the sizzle, the flip, it gets on there, it's still crackling when it gets on your plate, and you cut into that, and all the juices come out, and you put that first bite in your mouth. hey, I could write commercials for a living. Oh, I do.
I know. You're literally making me hungry here.
But you do that, and yeah, I mean, I love all the pork stuff too, but it's hard to do that with a rack of ribs or a pork butt or even a pork sirloin roast. I can't. I've got some skills, not being arrogant, but I've got some skills, but I can't make them that way like I can a steak. You know what I mean? Or just, boom, like that. Hey, we got.
You know, I think my mom also grew up cooking on a Weber kettle.
Yeah.
Just always charcoal, Weber kettle, hamburgers. And I think part of that for me is that I still always, that's what I think of, you know? And
oh, yeah.
I just love it. Makes me think at home.
Yep, it sure does. Emily's going to join me for After Hours. So for those of you listening to the show on the network, and then you can tune in to SoundCloud or one of the other multi-platforms that we're on and listen to the After Hours version too. But Emily Detweiler, thank you for being with us here on Barbecue Nation today. It's good.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's fun. Max Good coming up the next hour, and we've got some fun stuff between now and the holidays. Meathead, of course, will be back before Thanksgiving, as he always is, and the rest of the crew. So we're going to sign off for this week for the first hour, and Emily and I are going to go have some fun in the After Hours. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019.